Some people in southern Iraq are wondering when the Americans are going to show up. The U.S. military has only a limited presence in Shiite Muslim parts of that country. While Iraqis elsewhere tell the Americans to go home, these Iraqis say they've seen few troops and no reconstruction money. They were ignored by Saddam Hussein, and now they say they're being ignored again. NPR's Ann Garrels reports from Al-Mafat, south of Baghdad.
With a grandson squirming in his arms, Abu Muhammad Madlul Aziz sits cross-legged on a mat on the floor. The patriarch of an extended family numbering more than 20 receives guests in their Spartan mud brick compound.
Nothing has developed. I mean, the Americans came over, they're taking the oil, it's being sold out, nothing is being much improved. It's not what we expected.
Here on Mafat, a community of about 500 people, there haven't been any security problems. But what goes on beyond their walls still affects them. Because of dangers on the local highways, Abu Muhammad has asked his sons to quit their jobs as drivers. 70% of the village is now unemployed. There are no phones here, no running water. The women who have to walk a mile to get water safe enough to boil for drinking curse the former regime.
Damn the man. Saddam wasn't fair to the Iraqi people. I mean, Iraq had a lot of oil, a lot of wealth. It was only for him and his family and the close ones. And we hope that the new government wouldn't do the same thing.
But so far, they've seen no reason for optimism. At the local clinic, catering to 10,000 people, Kadam Nimmer says diarrhea is a constant problem, especially for infants. But he still doesn't have enough medicine to treat the villagers for this relatively simple, if deadly, complaint. And not even the clinic has access to clean water.
We have to use a special heater to clean up the water. There's not enough water, but we don't have also electricity to keep it cold and well-preserved.
His only functioning equipment? A stethoscope and a blood pressure monitor.
Even furniture is very bad. We don't have enough chairs for all of us. Those are Saddam's chairs. They used to be for the bath bureau. We took them and brought them to the hospital.
The nearest hospital is 40 minutes away by car, and most here don't have cars. How much, Kadam asks, would it take to provide water, a generator, and basic medicines? Most in Al-Mafat now eke out a living from small plots of land, but they can't afford fertilizer and there's no money to combat a blight which is killing their date palms. Appeals for aid have gone unanswered. Meanwhile, some in the village are being denied their pensions because they were members of Saddam's bath party, something Kadam says they were forced to do in order to keep their jobs. His brother-in-law, who worked at an electric plant, has now been fired because he was head of a party cell. Testimonials from villagers certifying he didn't hurt anyone haven't helped.
I think it's an unjust and unfair decision that was made. Not all the Baathists were bad people. It should be through trial and punishment. The ones that did bad things have to be punished. The ones that did not do anything can live their lives, you know, as normal. I don't think it's a just thing and a fair thing to be done.
In the evening, as the scorching heat dissipates, men gather in Abu Muhammad's dusty courtyard to discuss the day's news. One man says Americans came with choppers and took some women from a local village. Another criticizes him for spreading crazy rumors. They discuss the lack of reconstruction.
If they did all most of their jobs in the first 6 months before people have a sense that they can attack the Americans and nobody can stop them, and they did that. They attacked the Americans and they gave them a hard time. And Bush, you know, was like amazed and he couldn't do anything about it. At the time, Saddam Hussein was the worst thing. But now we have the organized crime. I don't know. Is this something important with the Americans or what?
They debate whether American troops should stay now or not. One man says it's time for them to go. The majority say, no, not yet.
Leaving the country without a very vital and influential military forces and an army would be just going directly to a civil war.
Trying to put a positive spin on generally bad news, Kadam says at least Iraqis can now talk openly. But talk is cheap, And so far, he says, it's got them nowhere. Ann Garrels, NPR News.